Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy cricket show. And if you're a regular listener to the show, then you already notice that something slightly different about this week's show. And if you're a brand new listener, it's going to be slightly different this week. And the reason for that is that we recorded an absolutely top-notch, A-star, top-class Pitch Vision Academy cricket show earlier this week. And unfortunately, half of the recording failed. So you've got me talking, and you've got some long gaps, and then you've got me doing some more talking. And wonderful as I am, it's not quite the same without the venerable Mark Garraway giving his advice on things. And of course, it's definitely not the same without Sam Lavery. So even though Garraz can't be here for this last-minute re-record that we're doing, I have managed to rope Lavers in to do the podcast as a one-off emergency. Hello, Lavers, and thank you very much.
Hello there. Yes, not a problem.
So it's going to be a shorter show than usual this week. As I said, if you're a first-time listener, don't get used to this. This is not a typical example of the show. If you're a regular listener, maybe I'll just break up things a little bit for you from the normal structure. We're going to talk for a few minutes about a couple of different topics. We are going to have a question, and then we're going to get out of here. So we were talking about on the show originally, Lavers, we were talking about bowling wides and an interesting Twitter conversation that I had with friend of the show, Ian Pont, and we were talking about the problem of bowlers who bowl too many wides, and it came about because England, in a recent one, the international, seems to be bowling a lot more wides than they really should be. And I asked Ian what he thought about what needed to be done to help players bowl less wides, and he talked about how you need to understand your action. So what would you say about the aspects of understanding the action when it comes to stopping bowlers from bowling wides, whether it's at international level or at school level, which is obviously where you coach?
Yeah, well, I think having an awareness of how you bowl and the mechanics behind it, and also a grasp over yourself as an individual is pretty important, really. First of all, from a mechanics point of view, it's really important to understand your own technique. So the strengths and weaknesses you have as a bowler, what you are able to do and what you may be not able to do quite so well. And that's always going to have a big impact on how you're able to perform or execute a plan. So if a captain's asking you to do a specific thing, and that's something that you feel is beyond your capabilities because it's very precise, then maybe that's a job that isn't for you, and you can look to try and renegotiate a plan and look at other options. So first of all, understanding what your limitations and capabilities are is one thing which is pretty important. Secondly, having a really good understanding of how you move, how you would like to move, how you do move when you're bowling well, the positions you get into, and an awareness from start to finish about how your action develops. So we're not talking about just stood at the crease, but we're talking about from your starting position through your very first step all the way through to the end of your follow through, and every single little element within that, and having an awareness of all those little technical parts. So that's really important. Reason being, that then allows you to assess how things are going, when things are going well and when things are going poorly. So if things aren't going well and you understand your action pretty well, usually you can identify what you're doing wrong. So if you start floating the ball down the leg side, or for whatever reason you start bowling too short or too full, often guys who've got a pretty keen grasp on what they're doing, it just triggers a little part of their brain says, look, I've done this before, I know what to do. This is usually because of X, Y and Z. So maybe I'm not following through, or maybe I'm drifting a little bit out of my run-up, or I'm falling away, or whatever it may be. So having a really firm grasp of those type of technical aspects is really important. We did actually get to talk onto the psychological side a little bit as well. And one of the things that we mentioned was dealing with pressure and knowing how you perform in different types of situation in a competitive environment. So when you're out in front of, well, in a club game, maybe 200 or 300 people can be quite a high-pressured environment, because I don't know about you, David, but most club games I see, if you get 50 or 60 people, that's quite a big crowd. But sometimes you might get 200 or 300 down there for a slightly bigger game, and that is a pressured environment. Or obviously if you're playing in a 2020 or a, an IPL or a test match, again, having an awareness of if the pressure's getting to you, how do you respond under it? If you do start to make mistakes, where do you make mistakes? And if you can, how can you counter them, or how can you even counter them before they start to happen? So all these different elements make up part of your delivery, and they all contribute to how you bowl the ball, and having an understanding and awareness of that is really important to success.
It is a very difficult balancing act, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you want to have those slight adjustments of the autopilot, don't you? You want to, like an aeroplane that's on autopilot, the autopilot's constantly making adjustments to keep it on the straight and narrow. It's the famous statistic, isn't it? It's that a plane is off course about 90% of the time, but yet the autopilot always gets you there because it's making those constant, very, very small adjustments. And you want to be making those small adjustments, but you also don't want to be thinking about your action too consciously, because as soon as you start thinking about where's my arm, where's my foot, where's my hips, what am I doing, where's my head, you start falling over your own feet, don't you? You get caught up in your own, it has to be a rhythmical movement. It's a complete body movement done at a very high speed, and you have to keep in that rhythm, but you also have to be able to make those adjustments as you go along. And I guess that is mastery of your action to a very high level, isn't it? I mean, you've got international players who can't do that.
Yeah, I think you'll find that is the understanding of your own mental processes and how you can work through. And some people will actually still require that association of their movement with a functional mechanical movement, and they will focus in on how they are moving, and they still may want that very physical alteration that they're trying to make. And some have to understand that sometimes it's a case of focusing their mind somewhere else. So I think we talked about Shane Warne the week before last, or maybe even last week. One of the things he did when he was bowling well is he always talked about how he wanted the batsman to move and how he wanted the batsman to play a shot. And that was because it always took the focus away from him. And if someone who developed their action to such a high level then thought about what they were doing with their own arms and legs, they wouldn't be working on autopilot. And when you're at a very high level, you want to try and work on autopilot to a degree. So if you can shift your focus away from yourself and your action, if you're at that level and that mindset suits you, then that can be a really good way of just taking you back towards the path, or the flight path in your analogy, that you're looking for.
Yeah, it's you need your own trigger, don't you? You need that trigger that works for you. And if that trigger is just muttering to yourself front arm as you go back to your creases. Nathan Bracken told me once, you know, he knew that if he wasn't in rhythm, there'd be one or two things that might be going wrong. And, you know, just purely from experience, not from anything he was feeling, he bowled a wide and he would think, okay, that's probably one of two or three things that have gone wrong. So he thinks what it might be is he's walking back, and then just as he gets to the top of his mark, he thinks, right, front arm. And then that focuses him in on that thing that will get him back into rhythm again. So that worked for Nathan Bracken, but you might have your own little trigger, little thought, little way to decide. And I think that's the key to it, isn't it? Whether it's you're trying to stay in the zone, or, you know, not think about it, or think about something very, very specific, it's whatever works for you to get you back to the right place.
Absolutely. That's a really good example with someone like Nathan Bracken. Someone at the highest level can use something so simple like that. And I do think the danger sometimes is people constantly trying to compensate for bowling fuller or shorter. And obviously there are adjustments that you can make as bowlers to change your line or your length. But rather than moving away from where you are, I think it's often a case of trying to move back to what you know works. And if that front arm comment works for him, then that's something that doesn't, he's not suddenly saying, I've got to bowl fuller, I've got to bowl shorter. He's saying, I've got to bowl how I know I bowl my best. So he's directing towards an ideal rather than just trying to compensate.
The other thing we just wanted to have a quick chat about before we go on our way was the questions from this week. And one in particular that I thought would be quite quick and easy for us to answer, and quite interesting for a lot of people listening to the show, is one from Sirhith. And Sirhith says, I'm a club cricketer who's looking to further my cricket in the UK. However, for that to happen, I need to have a coaching qualification. How can I, as an Indian passport holder, go about completing this course? Levis, I know we've already talked about this once this week. Can you remember what we said?
I can. First of all, we said that yes, you do need to try and seek an equivalency. So all the different coaching qualifications from around the world, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, India, England with the ECB, for example, they all have their own system. And their own system is generally matched up against their counterparts in different countries, and they all have a equivalency ranking. So, for instance, an ECB level 2 may pitch up against an Australian level 1, for example, or they may get to a stage where they all match each other 1, 2, 3, 4. So they all have an equivalency, and that's what you're obviously seeking for. Now, one of the issues that you'd have with India is that ECB currently accepts equivalency from South Africa, Australia and New Zealand. So one of the issues you're having there is that you can't go through a BCCI program and say, I'm a qualified coach, I've got the BCCI level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, however far it goes, and say that that's an equivalent, unfortunately, because the ECB don't accept that program at the moment. However, what you can do is you can seek out someone who may be delivering one of the English, Australian or New Zealand packages out in India. And I believe from the chat that we had from Gareth that he was aware that there were certain people delivering Australian coaching qualifications out in India on a reasonably large scale as well. So it sounds like there are lots of opportunities.
Yeah, there's companies who are set up specifically to deliver the Australian coaching qualifications to as many Indian people as possible. Places like Cricket India Academy, who are India, all across India. They do courses all across India, coach education. So there are plenty of opportunities for you to get that Australian qualification. I've never heard of anyone doing the ECB ones out there. But Australian ones.
Well, I think the strength of the Australian one is such that it doesn't matter if you're ECB, Australian, New Zealand, etc. If you do hold that qualification, it holds a prestige, which means it's transferable to the UK or to wherever you'd like to go, really. So first port of call is get that sorted, make contact with whoever it is in the UK or the coaching body in the UK as well, because you will have to be a member of the ECBCA generally for any sort of involvement in the UK as a coach. So make contact with them as well and make sure they're aware of what you're doing, the process you're going through. And you can just sign up a membership for them, which I'm sure David will be able to tell you the annual price of. I think it's about £30.
I think it is, yeah. I think it's a bit less if you pay by direct debit. There's a top tip for you.
Okay, there you go. It might save yourself a fiver every year
exactly,
or something like that.
Exactly.
But once you've done with that and you've got your qualification, and then obviously you can go through your various visa applications depending on what you're applying to do while you're here, then you can kind of get on with coaching, and from there it's just a case of seeking out a club or a side or a cricket board or an individual or whoever it may be that you're looking to work with, and getting the support of them and getting on with the work, hopefully.
Yeah. We also had a couple of other options. That's a great one, Labors. We had a couple of others. One was saying if you're a decent player and you can get over here to be a professional at a club somewhere. I mean, you do have to be a good player nowadays to get a overseas player position in a club. But if you can do that, then if you can come over for a summer, that maybe gives you time to find a coaching qualification that's run in the summer. Or maybe you come a couple of months early if you can find a suitable sponsor, or if you're more of the academic type than you are of the taking wickets and scoring runs type, then you could always go for a foreign degree in the UK, a UK university. And then whilst in the UK, you can play university cricket and also get involved in getting a coaching qualification, because that's a good way for players from India or other countries to come into the UK and experience the benefits of the ECB system.
I think the main outcome of it is that there are methods, it can be done. There are options as well, and they all hold different levels of commitment on your part And they all bring different outcomes in the sort of longevity of how long you can spend time here coaching and doing what you want to do. So options are out there. It's just get the ball rolling and things will happen.
Okay, well, that is the best advice we can offer you there, Suhith. So let us know how you get on. Hopefully that'll lead to some positive stuff for you, and you can give us some feedback about how you made it over to the UK and you're starting to do your coaching qualifications over here. That would be fantastic news to hear. Okay, Levers, so we are going to wrap up there for the show this week. We'll be back to normal next week, all other things being equal, and questions can still be sent in. That is easy to do. You can email us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com, or you can find us on social media, pretty much any social media network you like. Just look for Pitch Vision Academy, you'll find us there. And if you are a new or old listener, you know that you need to subscribe to this show if you want to get half an hour of cricket goodness every week. And you could subscribe in any podcast program or app on your computer, phone or tablet. Just search for us in there and you'll find us. So that's all for this short version this week. We hope you listen again next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Levers.
Thanks, David.